And Brent, thank you for your witness today. It's not easy to look to God and to praise Him in the midst of a storm. I heard someone say, sometimes God calms and stills the storm. Sometimes God just decides to calm and still the child in the storm. Storms come into all our lives. It's good to know that we have a God who is with us in the storm. And Brent and his family shall continue to be in our prayers. The scripture reading today is from Philippians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are two bookend sayings in the life of Jesus. The first one was when he was 12 years old. His parents go back to look for him. They find him in the temple. They ask him what he's doing. And his response was, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And then we flip on over towards the end of his life on the cross. And the book end saying there is, it is finished. Jesus completed the purpose for which he was born. He fulfilled the mission that God gave him. And what a mission that was. To be born in the flesh. To live our life. To die our death. And to be raised for our sake. Jesus fulfilled the mission that God had for him. Even to the point of death on the cross. But in the end, he said, it is finished. I have completed what the God had sent me for. Now, Jesus says something very, very important to us. And we kind of overhear him praying to God. He's praying to God, but we're overhearing his prayer. We're overhearing his prayer in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, verse 18. And Jesus says, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent my disciples also into the world. And so we gather today as the sent people, the people Jesus was talking about, that just as he fulfilled the mission that God had for his life, so now he has sent us into the world to complete his mission, to continue his mission. And so we largely think about this in terms of the Great Commission found in the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We're familiar with it. Jesus talks about, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You know, this was not the great suggestion. This was the Great Commission. We are a sent people to do that. That's our general overall mission. Go and do that. But there are specific missions, too, that each of us are called to do. And you're welcome to share with me what you feel is the mission that God has given you to go along with the Great Commission. So we are to be now stewards of the mission that he has given us. You know, I remember a long time ago that there was a business that the family had, and it stayed within the family. And so when a father or a mother died, they'd pass the business on to their sons and daughters, and they would carry on the business. Now, sometimes that's done today, not always. Things have changed. But the children were inheriting a business. But more than inheriting a business, to them, they were also receiving the call of stewardship to continue the business, to continue the good work, to continue the service. They were stewards of their family's business. And that's what we're called to do as the children of God, to be stewards of the family's business, the family of God's business. We're to be stewards. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I consider my life useless unless I use it for the mission that God has given me, to share the incredible good news of God's loving generosity towards all persons. We have been entrusted with the greatest story there's ever been or ever will be. We have been entrusted with the story of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's now in our hands. What are we doing with this gospel? How are we being stewards of God's mission? It's ours now to tell, to live, to teach, and to share. We are now responsible for the mission God gives us to share. Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church, shares this story from his family life. Back in 1999, his father was dying of cancer, and he would go in and out of consciousness. He was under drugs to keep him sedated and to help comfort him. And so often as Rick and his wife and his niece were seated by his bedside, he would hear his father call out again and again, one more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. And this continued to go on until finally Rick's wife asked him, and in one of those moments when he seemed to have more clarity, what do you mean, one more for Jesus? He wasn't really able to explain it, but then it dawned on Rick what his father was talking about. His father was a pastor, but he was also a man of missions. He would go all over the world with people in his churches, and they were largely small churches. He would go all over the world to help build churches. To physically build churches so persons would have a place of worship to gather and then be sent out into the world. And so what he was going through in his mind was he was building another church because he was on a mission. One more for Jesus. And as he spent the last moments of his life, that was the song of his heart. One more for Jesus. And then Rick said he began to think about his dad and what his dad meant to him. And he just was humbled that he had a father who carried on his father's business. And so he knelt his head to thank God for the gift of his father. And his father reached over and placed his hand on Rick's head. And he said to Rick, "One more for Jesus." And Rick Warren says that's largely the motivation for why he wants his church to always reach out to persons. Because God wants all his children to know of his love and care. God wants no one to be out of place. God wants all persons to belong to a family. And so they're passionate about reaching people for Jesus. One more for Jesus. And so Rick Warren says his life mission statement actually comes from Acts 13 and 36. He adopts it. He adapts it. In Acts 13, 36, it says that David, King David, served God's purposes in his own generation. And so for Rick Warren, he's written a mission statement that he is called to serve God in his own generation. That's the only generation we can serve, is the generation that we're in. And then others come behind us, and they enter into our labors, and then they carry on the mission. And this has been going on since Jesus commissioned his disciples to go. And the family's business has been passed on and passed on. And so often I catch myself not really realizing what I've been entrusted with. I've been entrusted with our family's business. I've been entrusted with the gospel, the greatest story there ever is. And so often I think about how I've taken a story that can bring life to people and I've killed the story. I've killed the story by the way I've read it. Comes across as boring. And sometimes I've killed it by not really saying that I know the gospel, but not demonstrating it in my daily life. And so I confess that I need to reclaim the office of stewardship of the gospel. It is of tremendous value, the greatest story there ever is. It's been entrusted to you and to me. And I want to tell it, I want to live it, I want to demonstrate it. And here's the reason why. It saves lives. Why do we do the things we do? Well, there's supposedly a motivation behind it. Lots of times we just keep doing things and we forget why we're doing them. You know, it sort of reminds me of the story of a man who went to a men's group and said, "Hey, how would y'all like to go on a trip with me and climb Mount Everest? And by the way, I guarantee you all persons who go on our trip will be able to reach Mount Everest. And when you get to the top of Mount Everest, you get your picture made, you're able to have it framed and placed on the wall of your office and tell everybody about the wonderful trip that you made. And how many would like to go to Mount Everest, climb that mountain and just stand on the top and breathe the air and go, wow, we climbed Mount Everest. Well, they were skeptical about whether they could make the trip or not, whether they could really do it. He assured them he's had 100% success rate. So they all went and they all climbed Mount Everest. And they went, wow, this is great. We've never been able to do anything like this before. And they all had their little pictures made and had their pictures framed, and they were all up on the wall in their office. And then the man came back the second year and said, hey, you remember we went on that great trip last year to Mount Everest? Well, we're going back. How many of y'all want to go? A lot of them wanted to go back because it was exciting. Not all of them went, but most of them went. And then the third year, the man came back and said, hey, remember me? I want to take another group to Mount Everest, and I promise you, you'll be able to reach it. Everybody in this group right here has been able to reach it. How many would like to go back again? And about half said, you know, I can't go because I've got something to do. The other half said, oh, well, I'll go again. And then the man came back again, and no one wanted to go. They said, we've already done that. We've done that. That was exciting, but, you know, we got the picture framed and it's on the wall in our office. Well, then the next year, a man came to speak to the men's group. And he said, let me tell you why I'm here. I would like to take a group to Mount Everest. And they went, oh, no. He said, no, listen. I know you're worried about, would you be able to make it? Yeah, you'll be able to make it. We train you, we help you, we equip you. But, I'm taking a group, and I'd like to take you to Mount Everest. And everybody said, you know, we've already done that. And then the man looked at them and he said, do you know the reason why I want to take you to the top of Mount Everest? And the one little man said, yeah, so we can have our pictures made, have it framed and placed on the wall in our office. And the man said, no. He said, now, I can't explain this to you, but it's the truth. Every time a group of men that I take climbs Mount Everest, a little child is cured of cancer. Every time a group of men climb Mount Everest, a little child's life is saved. How many would like to go? You see, that's what it's all about. It's about saving lives. What's at stake is people's lives. I don't save people, but I believe that the Lord that I introduce people to can save. And so that's why we do what we do. It's about saving lives. And we do it better together. And so we have a mission statement at our church. We're supposed to commit it to heart, so let me try it out on you. To make disciples of Jesus Christ who grow in faith and love through worship, fellowship, service, and witness to one another and the world. That's the mission of our church. That's why we do what we do. We are stewards of this mission. And then there, as I said before, the specific mission sometimes that we've been called to. Polly has an interesting mission in her life right now. She works one-on-one with women and also young girls with art. Not so much to help them to be able to become an artist, but through the experience of doing art, they may discover that the desires of their heart that God has put in them, but so often has been covered up by other stuff. And so just the other day, there was a young lady who came to our house to do art with Polly. And she comes from a place of brokenness and sorrow and loneliness. And the very next day, she sent a text to Polly saying that her life had been changed. And that a long time ago she used to do art, but she had stopped doing it. But when she left our house, she left with a journal that Polly had helped her create, and now she'll be able to use. It's just one little thing, one little mission. All of us should think about what our mission specifically is. So now we come to a place of invitation. The invitation is just simply this: come to receive prayer, but then go to be a demonstration of God's kingdom on earth, to be in mission. Let us stand.